Midnight Radio Network. Eric Harley, Gary McNamara has the morning off. Second hour of Ask the Law for Monday, January 3rd, 2011. Here with retired senior trooper Monty Dial of the Texas Highway Patrol, courtesy of Old Blue USA. All the information and answers are up to date. As of today, can change without notice. Any comments made by anyone other than Trooper Dial are considered to be opinions only. AskTheLaw.org is the website where you can click on that big red button that says email Ask the Law anytime to submit your CMV questions. We're going through CSA 2010. We're going to go through the new hours of service proposal, which has been on the desk officially. Been out there unveiled since December 23rd. We did a very special Ask the Law Christmas Eve. We realized a lot of drivers may have been off the road that morning, so we're going to go through that piece by piece over the next hour and let you know what they are proposing here. The public comment period is underway. It started last week and will continue through February 28th, a total of 60 days where you will be able to have some input here, and we'll see what how that all turns out, because they did leave it open. We don't know if it's going to be 10 hours of driving or 11 hours, and we'll explain all that here in just a few minutes. But before we do, I want to get back to Tony. Tony and Trooper Dial were talking about CSA 2010 and the rolling out of CSA 2010 and how it affects drivers. And you were mentioning, Trooper Dial, that it was rolled out essentially early December. This the database now is out there where anybody can see what the scores of these carriers are.
It was they kind of gave the motor carriers, look, you can log on and look at your own data.
Mm-hmm.
And December the 4th, they opened it up to where now everybody, if you've got a U.S. DOT number or you've got a trucking company name, you can log on and get it. There are two of the seven basics that they still haven't brought up, and that's the crashes and the load securement.
Right.
But everything else is up and running.
Okay. All right. So, Tony, it is out there, and it is in effect, and so it will affect every driver that's out there. One thing that we have already and have preached all along on this program is to run legal and to make sure that your pre-trip and your post-trip is done and make sure you're thorough in both of those.
Yes, sir.
Any other questions for Trooper Dial before we let you go about CSA 2010?
I had one more, and I think it's probably the largest argument, nearly caused fist fights and everything else, is do speeding tickets, and I've heard y'all say it before, but everybody's not listening for some reason to you, so I don't know why.
Mm.
But do speeding tickets count against CSA 2010, if my recollection is correct. If it's not by roadside inspection with a DOT trooper, they do not count against it. Am I correct?
You are correct, Tony.
Okay, well, I'm not always wrong, I guess.
Well, Tony, that's it, because it has to be an item that comes up during a roadside inspection. And it doesn't have to be something you're cited for, anything that's noted by that DOT inspector.
Yes, sir. Thank you, guys. We appreciate you.
Okay, thank you, Tony. Do appreciate it. Gosh, we have been doing Ask the Law for many years, and of course we go back long before the 2003 rule, but we were taking questions from drivers on hours of service, and I'm sure there were a few fist fights along the way, as Tony would put it, on the old hours of service rule.
Yes.
And that was in place for decades.
Yes.
I can't imagine all of the debates, I'm going to put that nicely out there, debates that are going on with CSA 2010 and what will affect you and what won't. But one of the common misnomers, and I've heard that before, I had an email driver sent to me, and of course I forwarded him to askthelaw.org, but it was asking me about a ticket. And it's if there is no inspection.
Right. If there is not a DOT trooper doing a roadside inspection, it does not affect CSA 2010.
Okay. All right. And that is, you know, the biggest, I guess, concern here is the misinformation, and that is the case, I think, with anything. And that brings us to Ask the Law and our hours of service proposal that is on right now. the desk. It is on the docket. You can, and by the way, you can comment. We'll tell you how you can do that here in just a bit, but the public comment period is underway and will last until February 28th. And here is the first item on the new hours of service proposal. All right. It would limit drivers to either 10 or 11 hours of driving time following a period of at least 10 consecutive hours off duty. Now, we say 10 or 11 because they haven't decided that yet. On the basis of all relevant considerations, FMCSA currently favors a 10-hour limit, but its ultimate decision will include a careful consideration of comments and any additional data received. This is why the public comment period is so important. So essentially, Trooper Dial, they have not decided whether they're going to do 10 or 11 hours of drive time.
That's correct. And I think you go back and I went back and looked at several of the listening sessions, and a lot of the questions that the panel proposed or asked drivers that were testifying before them was the 10 or 11 hours of driving.
Right.
And most of the drivers that responded indicated that very, very few of them ever actually drive beyond the 10 hours.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of them said that they would like to keep it at 11 because that gives them an hour now to find a location to park.
To park, because parking has been such a concern now, maybe not over the last couple of years, but certainly for overall, for the
yes.
most part, it has been a huge concern, parking shortages, and we believe that's going to be the case in 2011.
And I think that's one of the things right now that they're saying, yes, we favor the 10 because most everybody's testified that very few of them ever actually drive beyond 10, but at the same time, there was enough respondents that said, yes, we like the 11 hours because it gives us that flexibility
right.
to try to find a safe place to park.
Because now, in order to have that flexibility, you're essentially going to have to shut the operation down at 9
yes.
for those people who need that extra hour or want to use that extra hour to find parking in order to make it there and to be legal within that 10 hours of drive time, if that's what they decide on.
Yes.
All right. The second item here. It would limit the standard driving window. That's the period of time throughout the day to 14 hours. That's the driving window would be 14 hours while allowing that number to be extended to 16 hours twice a week. Now, it's important that we focus on driving window. That does not mean that you would be able to drive 16 hours in any day or 14 hours in any
Correct.
Day. It just means that from the moment you start driving, you would have a 14-hour window
yes.
in which to drive, but
yes.
that would have to include breaks
yes.
and stopping and everything else
yes.
Throughout the day. But that number would be extended to 16 hours. So on most days, you start driving at 6 a.m., you would have to be done by 8 p.m.
Correct.
Or on that 16-hour, you would have to be done by 10 p.m.
Correct.
All right. So
now then, let's go back and talk about this 16-hour window.
Yes. Yes, we need... Oh, we got so much to talk about.
And also, let's talk about the 14 also.
Right.
Because what they've done is, under the current hours of service now, a driver has 14 hours in
right.
which to work.
Right.
Of those 14 hours, no more than 11 can be driving. So that means he has 3 additional hours that he can use for on-duty not driving mm-hmm. or off-duty, anything on line 1, line 3, and line 4 will count in that 14-hour window.
Okay.
Under this new proposal, the driver now only is allowed 13 hours.
Mm-hmm.
Or actually, I think there are some examples that they gave that if the driver doesn't drive more than 7 hours and then stops and takes a break,
right.
then he can now get by with a 13.5-hour window.
Right.
But under the proposal, under the NPRM, 1 hour has to be built in for a break. So the driver can actually only work for 13 hours
right.
instead of 14.
Yeah, because the window is 14, but you minus that 1 hour for that break. That means there's only a real driving window of 13 hours.
And of that 13 hours, either 10 or 11 can only be driving.
Right.
Okay.
Right. Right.
Now then, to the 16-hour rule, the only way the driver can extend his hours beyond the 14 is if he goes somewhere back during his day and he takes at least 3 hours off, a minimum of 3 hours off, then the driver can extend his window to 16 hours. Now then, one thing that we did not talk about on Christmas Eve was any time a driver goes beyond the 14th hour. Now, if he's had 3 hours off, say he's sitting at the shipper, and he has the 3 hours off, and he works beyond the 14th hour, he has now used one of his 16 hours mm-hmm. days.
Okay. And that is, again, a part of this this whole idea that you're going to have some flexibility. You know, this was one thing that we heard from the industry. You talked about the listening sessions.
Right.
It was the lack of flexibility in the current hours of service rule. The attempt here is to add some more flexibility here, but you're going to have to be able to know what your, where your limits are, where your windows
are. This is fixing to be a nightmare. Honestly, it's fixing to be a nightmare for truck drivers and law enforcement. But the one thing that I never could understand, and this goes back to answering email questions, talking with drivers at truck shows mm-hmm. and stuff like that, and for some reason, drivers never could get it through their head that they could not stop and take a break.
Right. Because they could.
And it's always been there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the
split sleeper berth never went away.
Correct, that part of it. But as far as the driver, you know, saying, well, you know, the company told me that I've got to get in, once I get in and start driving, I've got to drive until I get 11 hours and then I got to stop. The regulation doesn't say that.
Right.
The regulation says you have 14 hours in which to work, you have 11 hours in which to drive. There's nothing in there that prohibits a driver from stopping and taking a break every 2 hours,
right.
every 3 hours,
mm-hmm.
every 4 hours, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And so FMCSA kept hearing a lot of drivers saying, you know, we need the flexibility where we can stop and take a break. Well, guess what? Now then you have got the regulation or these NPRMs where now then you are fixing to be mandated into a break.
Okay, and there's where it starts to get really confusing because as they attempt, if this is what they were doing, and we don't know, as they attempt to add flexibility here, they have really muddied up the waters.
Oh, they have.
There's going to be way too many problems with the math here. As you mentioned, it's going to create a logistical nightmare both for commercial vehicle enforcement and for drivers, and I agree. We'll get more into this as we take a break. You can get on board, 800-288-9227. Several other points here on the hours of service proposal that is on the table right now, or current hours of service rule. If you have a question about that, CSA 2010 or more, get on board right now. Ask the law on the Midnight Radio Network, 800-288-9227. Radio Network, Eric Harley here. Gary McNamara is back tomorrow. Ask the Law. The information and answers are up to date as of today, Monday, January 3rd, 2011. Can change without notice. Trooper Monty Dial is here. Retired Senior Trooper Monty Dial of the Texas Highway Patrol, courtesy of Old Blue USA. 800-288-9227. Anyone who makes comments on this program, or any comments or statements made on this program by anyone other than Trooper Dial, are considered to be opinions only. Let's go to David in Ohio. David, you got a question for Trooper Dial. Good morning.
Right. How How are you, gentlemen? Hope you had a good New Year.
You too. Happy New Year.
Thank you. I was just wondering how these new hours are going to possibly reflect on local drivers. With not being able to have a sleeper to take time off, or with doing multi-stops, are the 3 hours they're talking about, can they be, do they have to be consecutive, or can they be broken up to add up to 3 hours?
Okay, you're talking about extending that 16-hour window, driving window, with a three-hour break. First of all, I think on the local side, it's going to depend on, first of all, if your operation is intrastate or considered to be interstate. Do you guys use a log?
Yes, we do.
Okay. And
well, okay, what's going to happen on this, David? Nothing's really going to change for y'all. The thing is, you're still going to be limited to the 1 16-hour a day, or a 1 16-hour day, once a week.
Correct.
You're still going to be limited to the 14-hour day. Of that 14 hours, no more than 11 of it can be driving. You're still going to have the 1 hour break written in there. So the breaks can, you know, with being the regional driver, the breaks are probably going to come in a whole lot quicker.
Stand by, David. We're going to get to more of your answers right after the break. It is Ask the Law on the Midnight Radio Network. The Midnight Radio Network, Ask the Law, for Monday, January 3rd, 2011. We're here with retired senior trooper Monty Dial of the Texas Highway Patrol, courtesy of Old Blue USA. All the information and answers to questions are up to date as of today. Any comments made by anyone other than Trooper Dial are considered to be opinions only. AskTheLaw.org is the website. And let's get back to David here in Ohio. David, we were talking about this new hours of service proposal, if it became rule, and how it would affect local drivers who start and end their day in the same place. And I think during the break, you and I were kind of going over some scenarios here. Trooper Dial, what do you need David to know about this?
What's going to happen, David, is under the current regulations, 395.10 allows for the 16-hour day. Under the, if this new proposal goes into effect, you would have 2 16-hour days that you could work on. The problem is you're going to have to subtract 3 hours off of those 16-hour days to get the 16-hour. Right now, you're not required to show any off-duty time to get the 16-hour day.
So under this new rule, you're going to have to start introducing 3 hours of break time.
Yes.
For these 16-hour days, if you do extend. Do you guys do that once a week as it is now, David?
Yes, we do. We basically run 3 or 4 stops between Ohio, PA, Kentucky, Indiana, and we'll run multi-stop there and back. And, of course, dealing with the winter wonderland we have up here.
Yeah.
which has the times into that, which is why I was looking at if they go to 10-hour, 11-hour, and how many hours of breaks were going to be proposed to get those hours.
Yeah,
it's under this proposal, you're going to, of course, one thing you got to remember is what used to be the old, you know, everybody's always gotten used to the 14-hour clock. That 14-hour clock is basically going to be a 13-hour clock, which means your driving and on-duty not driving activities can now only total 13 hours.
And the 1 hour break and constitutes that 14-hour window.
And that 1 hour break that you're going that's a mandatory built in is going to be the 14-hour old 14-hour clock. Now
is there a stipulation that the 1 hour must be consecutive or the 3 hours?
Well, no. What's going to happen is the way they have it written, you cannot work more than 7 hours. This is on-duty not driving and driving time.
Either or combined.
Either or combined. 7 hours down the road. you've got to stop and take a break.
Okay. Now, you can also take one before that, of course, but hours is your limit?
Yes. See, this is where it gets tricky. Because let's say, for an example, that when you show up at the terminal, you have to spend an hour, 2 hours, 3 hours getting your truck loaded, getting ready to go. You stop and take a 30-minute break before you hit the road. 7 hours down the road, you've got to stop and take another break.
Yeah, so after that 30-minute break, you're only going to have another 7 hours of work and or drive time or combined before you have to stop again.
Yes.
For another 30 minutes. Yeah.
See, that's 7 hours is the maximum.
At one time.
At one time.
You can work
or drive.
From
the starting of your log to that break time.
Yes.
Cannot be over 7 hours.
Yeah.
Yes.
Right. You're going to have to stop after working or driving or a combination of both of 7 hours. You're going to have to stop for at least 30 minutes. That's, in fact, one of the next items here. We've talked about the 13 hours, but item number four on this proposal, David, is drivers would be permitted to drive only if 7 hours or less have passed since their last off-duty or sleeper berth period of at least 30 minutes. That translates into what Trooper Dial just said, and that is once you start that on-duty clock or that driving clock, you cannot work for more than 7 hours before you have to take a break of at least 30 minutes.
Okay, now, is there a stipulation still that some companies have to have I guess it's in the FMCSR, that anything over 15 minutes or has to be allowed only by the company that says you're off-duty and not responsible for the vehicle?
Well, no, because what they've done is, in one of the proposals down a little bit further, what they have done, and this goes back to accommodating the drivers that were complaining about going to a shipper or a receiver, and they were being tied up undue amounts of time. Before, under the current regulations now, you either are in the sleeper berth and you log sleeper berth time, you're either on duty not driving, or if the motor, or if the shipper or the receiver gives you a finite period of time that says you can leave and come back and be back at a designated point in time, then you can log that as off duty time. Under this,
we are in day cabs.
Right.
It makes a difference.
Well, sleeper berth would not apply to you.
No, we are always on duty unless allowed by our company.
Correct.
Well,
responsible for the equipment.
Right. Under the new rule, that changes, doesn't it?
Under the new rule, now then you
If it becomes a rule.
If it becomes a rule, you can log off duty sitting in the truck.
Oh.
Yeah, so if you're sitting at a shipper and receiver, all right, and you sit there for 2 hours waiting,
that can be logged as off duty.
That will help you extend that driving window.
Yes. So let's say you do that somewhere during your day, and then later you take a 1 hour break at a truck stop. That adds up to your 3 hours of total break, which would help you reach one of those 16-hour on-duty windows, one of two that you could get in an entire week. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does.
Yeah, so that's part
actually,
of the...
It's actually reachable now. You can actually work your day...
Yes.
Well,
actually reach that.
And I believe, and it's just my opinion, but based on the comments from FMCSA Director Ann Farrow, she is a trucking advocate and has been for quite some time. I believe under her rule, under her reign here at FMCSA, that was part of it, actually listening to what was going on to drivers with drivers in these listening sessions, because she made the comment last June about shippers and receivers have to be more flexible. Well, this is part of that flexibility. Now, It's still a logistical nightmare. We're not saying, you know, that this is all, roses and sunshine. There are still some major concerns here because it becomes very hairy when we talk about the 34-hour restart. And, David, we're going to talk about that here in just a few minutes. If you stand by, we do appreciate your call. Hopefully we got your all of your questions answered. We do thank you because the 34-hour restart gets to be, and you and I talked about this off the air. Under the proposal, the 34-hour restart would be retained subject to certain limits. The restart would have to include two periods between midnight and 6 a.m. This is key. There would have to be two periods in that 34-hour restart of midnight to 6 a.m. and could start no sooner than 168 hours after the beginning of the previously designated restart. So let's take the first part there, midnight to 6 a.m. If you have to have two periods between midnight and 6 a.m. in that 34-hour restart, then you would have to start that 34-hour restart. All 34-hour restarts have to begin no earlier than 8 p.m. and no later than midnight.
Yes.
Period. Yes. There is no flexibility there. You can't start at 7:30, and you can't start at 12:30 a.m.
Right.
You would have to start between 8 p.m. and midnight in order to reach the 34 and in order to be compliant with those two periods of midnight to 6 a.m.
Right.
For overnight operations, hello, are you listening? Apparently you are, because you're listening to this program, the Midnight Radio Network. Well, this is what we're talking about here. This is going to be a logistical nightmare because these operations are going to have drivers, if they have to use that 34-hour restart, that are going to lose at least one period of driving, or one shift, essentially,
yes,
a week.
Yes.
Because you can't start, under this rule, if it becomes a rule, you could not start a 34-hour restart other than between 8 p.m.
and
midnight, period.
They get to sit an extra day.
Yeah. You can't start it at 6 a.m. anymore.
Just to get an extra midnight to 6 in there.
Yeah. And see, that would, because that's a lot of the overnighters, the third shifters out there,
yeah,
hauling America's freight, would end a shift at, say, 6 a.m., and at that point, they could start a 34-hour restart, and after 34 hours, boom, get back as early as the following day at 4 p.m.,
mm-hmm,
and they can no longer do that.
They can no longer
do
it.
So if they're done with their shift at 6 a.m., it doesn't matter. That 6 a.m. to 8 p.m. is just going to be lost time.
Yes.
Because they will not be able to start their 34-hour restart until 8 p.m. at the earliest.
Yes.
Wow.
Like I say, it's going to be a logistic nightmare.
It is. It is. And we'll talk about the last part of the definition, the last part of the rule here coming up here in just a few minutes on Ask the Law. We know we got drivers hanging on, but we want to make sure we get through this here. This hours of service proposal, if it becomes rule, what that would mean. Stand by. It's Ask the Law on the Midnight Radio Network. Midnight Radio Network, Eric Carly here. Gary McNamara is back tomorrow. Okay, we only got about a minute and a half here, but I want to get through the last point here. The definition of on-duty would be revised to allow some time spent in or on the CMV to be logged as off-duty.
Yes.
So, again, as you mentioned, you could sit in the truck and still log it as off-duty, which would mean team drivers, you could, now, for team drivers, it would mean they could only do that for 2 hours of their off-duty period if 8 hours were spent consecutive in the sleeper berth.
Right. What they have to do is, you stop and change teams.
Right.
The driver that is going from driving to sleeper, he can spend the 2 hours in the right front seat, or at the beginning, or at the end of the shift. He has to have 8 hours of sleeper berth in there.
Yeah.
Okay. So now then it gives the teams an opportunity. One other thing that we failed to mention was this 1 hour break.
Right.
Also applies to the teams.
Oh, yes. The teams are going to have to stop at 7.
Yeah.
And 11, they're going to have to, and flipping teams is going to be a nightmare. You know, all right, we'll have to tackle this again, and I'm sure we will on Hours of Service. AskTheLaw.org is the website. Trooper Dial, we'll see you again next month.
Yes.
It's the Midnight Radio Network.